Thank you for joining us for Sermons on Demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. We provide these videos as a way to share the pulpit messages and teachings offered at Friendship Grace Brethren Church. If you find these videos a helpful resource, please drop us a note at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com. Now open your Bibles and get ready to dig into the Word of God. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the blessings that you give us. Thank you for loving us, calling us to be your children, for giving us material to study that will draw us closer to you and help us to understand you just a little bit better and relate to you a little bit better. This morning, as we study, we ask that you would be honored and glorified by our comments, by our study, and that all of it is worship of you, all of it is reflective of you, and that we know you because we have been involved in it. We pray for those of our number that can't be with us, just watch over them and protect them and bring them together again with us. Thank you that Bill's back with us. Thank you that he's doing better. We ask that you put your healing hand on him and even miraculously heal his trachea. Thank you, Father, for the blessings that you give us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, we are not going to go over all the questions that you had, that you are answering in your book and stuff. That's what you need to do, to work on your own. All I can say is I'm glad I have a teacher's manual that has the answers. Because as we were talking about a little bit ago, some of this is a little bit difficult. But that's good. You should be challenged by it, and that's what we need. What we're going to do is talk about stuff that you hopefully learned in this and in other areas. It's all part of this same material. And you know you can get the audio from Dr. MacArthur's sermons on our website, and you can get the transcript for each of his sermons. If some of you would prefer to read than listen, and so you can do that, or you can do both at the same time, which engages more of your senses and makes it a little bit better, easier to maintain, so. FriendshipGraceBrethren.com, FOF, and there it's all laid out for you by lesson. This morning we're going to talk about natural and special revelation, and maybe get into some information about general information about the Bible. I don't know how far we'll get. We'll see. I was telling the guys earlier that yesterday morning I realized that I had used the wrong set of notes to put the information on the slides. I had like 150 slides made, and so I had to go back and redo it. And got that done yesterday afternoon, and then I was much happier. So let's talk about lesson one, introduction to the Bible. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That's our memory verse for this first lesson. That I don't want to say week one, because lesson one's going to be probably a month. All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Over the next couple of weeks, say that every day, go through it every day, get it committed to your memory, because it's an important statement that Timothy received from the Apostle Paul. And as we go through this study, you'll get to see what Scripture thinks is Scripture. We know that Peter looked at what Paul had written and said it's Scripture. We know Jesus referred to the Old Testament as Scripture. And so all Scripture, the Apostle Paul says, all Scripture is breathed out by God, and we'll explain that as we go along, and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Revelation. Not the book of Revelation, but how we got what we have in Scripture. What would you say is a good definition for Revelation?
Prophecy.
Prophecy? Yeah. Prophecy is revelation, but a good definition, a good working definition of revelation is God revealing, revelation, revealing something you don't know and would have no way to know except he revealed it. What would you think would be an early revelation in Scripture? How God created. Yeah, creation. Because none of us were there. I mean, I feel like I'm old enough to have been there, but I wasn't there. Nobody was there. And so how did the world come about? Well, God said how it came about. That's revelation. The act of God whereby he discloses to man what would otherwise be unknown. Much of what we know about God, we only know because he's revealed it. Now, he reveals in multiple ways. What's inspiration? God breathed, yes. Process by which God, as the instigator, moved men by the Holy Spirit to write the words of God. A process by which God, as the instigator, moved men by the Holy Spirit to write the words of God. I don't understand necessarily how that works. Well, let's just take the Apostle Paul. He wrote a bunch of books. I forget the number. 13, I think, is the number in the New Testament. And he wrote exactly what God wanted him to write. But what God wanted him to write took into account his training, his experience, his vocabulary. The Apostle Paul looked completely different than Luke's, which looks different than Peter's, which looks different than Matthew's, and so forth. Because they all had different perspectives, they had different backgrounds, and God took all of that into account. So God, as the instigator, Paul didn't sit down and write and say, "Oh God, make this your word." God said, "Oh, Paul, I'm going to have you write my word." God is the instigator. And he moved men. And I don't know that we have to use this as a statement of humanity instead of male. I don't know of a female author of Scripture. I'm not saying that there wasn't. Because a couple of books, we don't know who are the authors. But, so I don't know if that's a male man or if that's a man universal of humanity. I don't know. Moved men by the Holy Spirit to write the words of God. That's important for us to remember. So, how has God revealed to us? Through natural revelation is one of the ways, also called general revelation, is God revealing himself to man through his creation and conscience. Through creation and through his word written on our hearts. So let's talk about that for a moment. How does creation reveal God? Okay. Yeah. We were talking out there. You can't look inside the human body. I know most of you don't want to, but I always found it fascinating to go to an autopsy. And once you get past the smell, everything is cool. You can't look at the inside of the body. You can't look at a beating heart and not say somebody created that. It was clearly designed. It's not what is the byproduct of stronger killing the weaker. Because we wouldn't be here. By the way, I'll give this one to you for free. No evolutionary change has ever adapted for the better. Yeah, it's always got to go the other way. So how we go from a single-celled organism in the ooze, which, by the way, is impossible, but how you could rationalize going from that to what we are now and say that we got better when that's a violation of everything that we have been able to observe in science. But that's what they say. So natural revelation is God revealing to us through the world, through your body, through what you see in the universe. I mean, several years ago, we went to the Grand Canyon. Right about this time, got snowed in. It's cold, but beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. And there's no way that that's by accident. There's clearly design everywhere. And what does design require? A designer. Yeah, you got to have a designer if you're going to be seeing design. I mean, somebody designed this house, and then somebody used the design and put it together the way we wanted it. That's the way it works. How to rationalize that there's no designer when you look at natural revelation is beyond me. Now let's talk about the other part of natural revelation, and that is what's written on your heart. What makes us different than everything else in every other sentient being in the universe? Okay, I'll put a caveat that we know of. Just because there are those. What makes us different? We have a sense of morality. Where does that come from? And what does it reflect? Yeah. That's one of the best arguments for the existence of God, is that there is a sense of morality. Otherwise, morality is just what the will of the majority is. Well, that could be really bad. Yeah. Or what Pol Pot did, or what Stalin and Hitler did. You know, those are things that are contrary to what our heart says is right. Our conscience, that's exactly what we're talking about. Every society in the history of the world has had some form of mores, some form of rules, and they've been fairly consistent. You don't get to take what your neighbor has without compensation. You don't get to kill your neighbor without just reason. You don't get to take your neighbor's wife. Those are Ten Commandments, right? But they existed in societies before God gave them to Moses. For the wrath of God is revealed from the heavens against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, by their unrighteousness, suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because he has shown it to them. For this invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. The Apostle Paul talking to the Romans, saying, look, it's all around you. It's in you and it's around you that God is the creator, sustainer of the universe. But humanity, non-redeemed humanity, has suppressed the truth and refuses to see that. I think it's satanic, the way the world moves in anti-young earth creation discussion. I think when Darwin first posited the origin of species, It was led by Satan to do that because of all the things that then come from that. Things like abortion. Abortion becomes acceptable in our mind because we no longer see it as a human, and we have devalued humanity as a whole and made it just one of the animals. You're just an animal. Animals kill each other. That's what they do, right? Just watch Simba, Lion King, they kill each other. That's the way it works. And so we're just like animals, and so it's okay. So the Apostle Paul here in Romans 1 is talking about how we've just suppressed the truth. We know the truth. We're without excuse. We see it. Even people like Richard Dawkins has recently said he no longer can argue against a designer. Now, here's one of the most avowed atheists, not agnostics, atheists, who now says, I can't argue against there being a designer. There's just too much evidence that there is a designer. Now, he's not ready to commit to say that that designer is Jehovah God, although he has recently said he's a cultural Christian. And by that, he does not mean he's saved. He means that the values of the Judeo-Christian ethic are something that he values. That's what he means by that. It's the way he's explained it. Pretty much. Yeah, which is a big jump for him. Can't remember the name of one of the most prolific atheists of the 20th century who came to that same conclusion just before he died. And I think it's William Lane Craig who says that he had conversations with him about Jesus before he died. No, Christopher Hitchens, he's my favorite atheist, whose brother is a good Christian preacher. I think Christopher died and went to hell. I'm confident of that. But he was a good atheist. He was not in your face. No, this was an atheist philosopher who did a lot of writing, and I just can't remember his name all of a sudden. Anyway. I wouldn't trust William Lane Craig to lead someone to the Lord because his theology is kind of wacko, but he's good in some apologetics. But he said he talked to him, and he at least was to the point where he recognized the designer and so forth. But we suppress that. Humanity suppresses that. We don't call a growing baby a baby. We call it a fetus, so now we don't have to think of it being a baby. We reject having an ultrasound so that mom can see a living thing there. It's not just a sack of cells. But that's how we suppress the truth. And that's alarming in some ways, but exactly predictable according to the Apostle Paul. Romans 2, 14 and 15. For when Gentiles who did not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. For they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their consciences also bear witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them. So here the Apostle Paul goes into more depth. Even the Gentiles who did not receive the law from God, they are influenced by what? By what's written on their heart. There's a conscience. We know when we do it right and when we do it wrong. How do we know that? Because God created us with that conscience. What's the purpose of natural or general revelation? Okay, for God to reveal himself? Yeah, exactly right. He's revealed us to us who he is through his creation and through what he's put into our hearts. See my notes as well. Here we go. How has God revealed himself? He's revealed to us through through his written law And he's revealed to us through his creation and through the natural law that's in us. How does creation show us about God? It reveals there's a designer. What's the purpose of natural or general revelation? It shows us who God is. It shows us there's a designer. Does natural or general revelation fall short of giving people enough information to lead directly to salvation? Can you get saved by looking at the mountains? When you look at natural revelation, when you look at the mountains or you look at the beach and the sunset, I prefer sunsets over sunrises because I'd like to be in bed at sunrise. But when you look at that, there's nothing in that that will lead you to salvation. It's kind of like where Richard Dawkins is. He recognizes now that there's got to be a designer, but he's not yet ready to say that that designer is Jesus. And he's not ready to say that he has to live for Jesus. And so something more needs to be added. General revelation, natural revelation, our conscience, is not sufficient to lead us to Jesus. It's just not. And it wasn't intended to be. For Adam and Eve, who could see the same thing, what was added to it that led them to salvation? Conversations with God. Exactly. Same thing for Moses. He grows. Charlton Heston, I see Charlton Heston in my face just because of the Ten Commandments. He grows up in the house of Pharaoh, and he's 40 plus years later in the wilderness with a bush that's burning, and he said, "Who are you?" God had to introduce him. How did he do that? He talked to him. He had to introduce himself to Moses because Moses knew about Ra, the sun god, and so forth, but didn't know about Jehovah God. So let's talk about the next topic that's really important for us in this special revelation. How would you define this? What would you say special revelation is? Okay, direct communication from God. That's a good way to say it, direct communication from God. Special revelation is God revealing himself to man through the miracles and signs, dreams and visions, theophanies, or I'll argue Christophanies, appearances of God in tangible form, through the prophets, through the greatest prophet, Jesus Christ, and through the written words of God in the Bible. So special revelation is how God has revealed to us specifically. Hebrews 1:1-2. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. So here, the author of the book of Hebrews, whoever it was, Barnabas, he's relating that long ago, Old Testament, in many different ways, in many different genres in the Old Testament, God spoke to the people. But we also have God talking to Adam and Eve. We also have God talking to Moses. And we have Jacob wrestling with him. We have God speaking, communicating directly to the people. Then, in the days of the author of the book of Hebrews, in the last days, for him, they were the last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. Dr. MacArthur says, the writer of Hebrews is in effect saying that God spoke on two occasions. He spoke once long ago. He speaks in these last days by his Son. Now, I believe that we are fair in assessing the fact that he has in mind here the Old Testament revelation and the New Testament revelation. So to try to explain what Dr. MacArthur is saying, long time ago, Old Testament, through his Son, New Testament. He's arguing that there's a separation like that. Let me continue on here. God spoke long ago to the Jewish fathers. Those were the Old Testament prophets, those who received God's word long ago under the Old Covenant. He spoke to those fathers by means of the prophets in many portions. I don't know what that word is. Many portions, polemeros, many books, many sections. And you know that there is the Pentateuch and there is the prophetic books and the historical books. And there were books of poetry. And many portions and in many books God spoke. He spoke to the Jewish fathers. He spoke by means of the prophets. He also spoke, it says, in many ways, holotropos, that means through the vision and the prophecy and parable and type and symbol and ceremony and theophany and sometimes audible voice, which I believe was James Earl Jones. And he even wrote with his finger on stone. Where else did he write with his finger? In Daniel. Remember the words? Meeny, meeny, tickle you, farson. Today your kingdom has been called from you. There were many ways in which God spoke many things, collected in many texts, put into many books, and he spoke to those of old by means of the prophets. That is a statement with reference to the fact that the Old Testament is God speaking. So what Dr. MacArthur is saying there is, God has used all sorts of means to directly communicate to us. In my world, it would be like I tuned my radio to a particular frequency, and God was talking to me there. There was a movie like that. But it wasn't God, it was the Father. Of a dead kid. It was frequency, that's it. Very good. Good job. I haven't seen that in a long time. So let's talk about some types of special revelation. First, there are theophanies, and you know that I'm going to argue every theophany is a Christophany. Not everybody does that. I believe the Apostle Paul mandates that when he tells us that Jesus is the Godhead in bodily form. I think that tells us that every time we see God in some physical form, it's going to be Jesus, even pre-incarnate Jesus. Let's talk about some of these theophanies. Dr. MacArthur calls them theophanies. I'd rather call them Christophanies. First, there's Abraham, Genesis 17:1. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. That wasn't the first time God appeared to him. It's just one of the times, but God is there talking to Abraham in some sort of physical form. I believe Jesus, standing in probably some form of human being, was there talking to Abraham. Or Isaac. Genesis 26:2, and the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell you. What did he look like? I don't know. Was it a voice? Was it an image? Was it a body? I don't know. Somehow God was there in some kind of physical, corporeal self and gave Isaac some instructions. Or how about Jacob? So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for saying, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been delivered. Again, I believe this is a Christophany. That's why he's alive and not dead, because no one's seen the Father. Otherwise, how else do you explain Jacob having seen him face to face? I think it can only be a Christophany. Or how about Moses? Exodus 3, 2 through 6. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire and out of the midst of the bush. He looked and behold, the bush was burning and yet was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. And then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet, for this place in which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So the first verse of that section tells us some important details. And the angel of the Lord is almost always, not exclusively, but almost always a reference to Jesus. Very rare in Scripture for there to be a statement of the angel of the Lord that is not Jesus. What does angel mean? Messenger. So here's a messenger of God, God the Son, standing in front of him. What shape? I would guess some sort of human appearance. We see that in Genesis and Exodus quite frequently. He also appears through dreams and visions. What would be some of those that you can think of off the top of your head? Okay. Although that was physical, not, that was real. Broke his hip. Yeah. Mary and Joseph. Yeah, Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat dreams. Ananias. I love the Ananias one because there had to be some resistance. Ananias, the one that dealt with Paul after his salvation, you know, he finds out that Paul is coming to Damascus with warrants, wanted dead or alive Christians, and appears to Ananias in a dream and says, hey, my guy Paul, Saul, is coming to get you. And Ananias, I imagine, said, wait, God, he wants to kill me. You want me to go out and greet him and take care of him? He wants to kill me. I'm having that conversation with God if God tells me to do that. I suspect Ananias did as well. That fascinates me, that kind of dialogue that had to have gone on. But let's go back to a couple of the ones that you talked about earlier. Jacob's ladder. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder set up on the earth, and at the top of it, it reached to the heaven, and behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. So there's a case of Jacob dreaming, or of Daniel. I guess I need to finish reading. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall be spread around to the west and the east and the north and the south. And to you and your offspring shall be all the families of the earth, shall the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you, and I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. That's Jacob and his ladder. How about Daniel? There we go, Daniel. The mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision in the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Verse 28. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lay in your bed are these. So we have miracles, dreams and visions, where God is speaking to us, them, because I don't think I've ever experienced that. in a dream, giving us instruction in a dream. But then there's also miracles and signs. What are some fantastic miracles you can think of in Scripture?
Well, the biggest one is Jesus rising from the dead.
Okay, yeah.
But Lazarus?
Lazarus being risen from the dead or raised from the dead, yeah.
Crossing the Red Sea.
Crossing the Red Sea.
Feeding 5,000 and 4,000.
Yeah. What about the flood in Genesis 7? We can't comprehend what that was like because we experience rain and we have, you're a sailor, how much of the earth is populated or is covered by water? Two-thirds of the earth covered by water. Wasn't always that way. And the continents were more connected in a Pangaea, and we have water. We had a dome of water that was over us so that UV rays and so forth coming through were filtered. And when all of that came down and the UV rays were no longer filtered and the amount of water on the earth was much greater, and you have the shift of the tectonic plates so that Mount Everest was not as tall. We don't need to see Mount Everest, the water as deep as Mount Everest is today, because it wasn't as tall. It got tall because God jammed things together and it went up. The fact that they find fossils of marine animals above 14,000 feet, above 26,000 feet, tells me, must have been some water around here sometime. You can't flood Everest without flooding the rest of the world. It doesn't work. You can't flood mountaintops without flooding the territory around them. To think of the flood as a regional flood doesn't work. That's not what God described. He describes it for the entire world. Clearly, miraculous. The burning bush. I really can't figure out what I would do. I love to watch fire, but when fire doesn't consume something, that would scare me. You know, when I sit out there and when it's cold and I got my fire table on, it's not being consumed, but the gas coming out of the bottle is, because when it runs out, it gets cold. So something's being consumed. When God was in the burning bush and Moses could see the fire, but no bush burning, he knew it wasn't a gas table. And I'm not sure how I would respond to that. It'd be kind of spooky. The plagues in Egypt? Those fascinate me too. Because almost all of the plagues that Aaron did and Moses did, the Egyptian wise men were able to do. It tells me that Satan can replicate what God does very simply. That should scare us all. Parting of the Red Sea, we talked about this on Wednesday as well. The miracle of that. The reality that the reigning Pharaoh at the time was the last reigning Pharaoh of Egypt to have a significant international military force. It's important. It changed history. So let's talk about the sufficiency of special revelation. The special revelation of God through His written word, the Bible, goes beyond natural revelation. The Bible is sufficient to lead one to salvation, but does not reveal everything about God to man. So general revelation gets us to a designer. Special revelation gets us to salvation. Because they have to hear the word of God. We have to see what God has said, hear what God has said, in order to be ready for us to accept Jesus. 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, the Old Testament, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith to Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, and for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Scripture does not reveal everything to us about God. Why do you think that's true?
Because there are infinite things to know about God and complexities that we are incapable of understanding.
Because we are
human, mortal, stupid.
All of that could be true. But you said God is infinite.
We're not infinite.
We're finite. Yeah. We don't have the capacity to know everything about God. So it's comforting to me that there are parts of Scripture that I can't figure out. It's comforting to me that I can't figure out how God can be sovereign and I can still choose to do things.
Was it designed that way to test faith?
Sure. Test faith, absolutely. And to prove that He's God and I'm not, which you ought to be thankful for. I can't figure out God, that's okay because He's not figure-outable. Was that a good grammar? And so that, to me, is a comfort. So God tells us a lot about Himself in Scripture. We know much more about Him when we read what's in the text, when we learn what's in the text, and we put all the pieces together. But we still can't know everything about Him. None of us have the capacity to know everything about Him. I think that's a good place to stop for today. Otherwise, we'll get in the middle. Any questions about general or specific special revelation? Next week, Lord willing, we're going to continue and we're going to talk about general information of the Bible, where we got the Bible, how, why it is what it is, why it's not what some other groups have it, and so forth. But that'll be also a long discussion. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of His law. Think about what Moses is saying here in Deuteronomy. The secret things belong to God. Can you think of a secret that He's revealed to us that He, after time, that He didn't reveal at the beginning?
Jesus.
Church. Mm-hmm. What does Paul call it? A mystery. If you look at the Old Testament prophets, you don't clearly see, at least looking just at them, you don't clearly see a time period that Israel set aside and the church is in place.
Could you put the Holy Spirit in that category?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For the Old Testament believers, they didn't differentiate between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity is not a doctrine of the Old Testament. It is a doctrine presented in the New Testament and supported by the Old Testament when we know what to look at. But for the Old Testament, for Moses, the Spirit of God was God. There was no separation. There isn't any separation. There's not even a separation of personalities in the Old Testament. And so the Holy Spirit, Jesus, as members of the triunity of God were a mystery that has been revealed. I think creation itself is a mystery. I think how God deals with people was a mystery. What did Adam know compared to what Paul knew? Let's go all the way. What did Adam know compared to what John the author of the book of Revelation knew. Adam didn't know. He didn't know about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't know even about Moses. He didn't know about Israel. He didn't know about chosen people. He didn't know any of that stuff. All of that comes from progressive revelation, where God revealed what was a mystery, now is revealed, and that has been ongoing. Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways. I'm glad I can't figure it out, because that makes me not God, which ought to make you very happy. Father, thank you for allowing us to spend some time looking at how you've revealed to us, how you've taught us, how you've shown us who you are. Lord, I pray for men like Richard Dawkins and others that are seeing they can't argue against your designs. And I just pray that eventually they would come to know you, and that they would see the error of what they taught. What a force that would be for you to see them teaching about who you are, to come to faith in you and knowing that what they said was wrong, and now they have a platform to say the truth. How cool would that be? Thank you, Father. Give us a great time in the service to follow, that you might be honored and glorified, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for watching or listening to this teaching on demand from Friendship Grace Brethren Church. Please consider sending us an email at info@friendshipgracebrethren.com to let us know how this teaching may have helped you. Please also consider joining us in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church, located at 10251 Metro Parkway, Suite 116, Fort Myers, Florida, just south of the intersection of Metro and Colonial Boulevard. Sunday school begins at 9 and worship service at 10 a.m. We look forward to seeing you in person at Friendship Grace Brethren Church.